Philippians. Starting a new book, we're in Philippians. We looked at some of the history last week. We looked at the first couple verses. As we get into this, Philippians was written by Paul. It's a book that he wrote to the church there in Philippi. This morning we're going to be reading verses 3 through 6. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for this truth, this promise from your word, this amazing, amazing promise. Father, thank you that you didn't get us started with salvation and then let us alone and see what we can do. Father, that would be amazingly horrible on our account. Father, thank you that we can trust you in our whole life. Thank you that you have overwhelmingly loved us and given your son for us, yes, but you live your life through us, and you, Father, we are free in you. And yeah, we can grieve and quench the spirit, but Lord God, that doesn't mean you forget us. It doesn't mean that, Father, we can still be in your plan. Lord God, thank you so much that you use cracked pots, just all of us cracked pots. You have blessed us and used us and molded us. And Father, we're just grateful. There's nothing we deserve, but we're just grateful. So grateful that you have seen us. We love you and honor your name. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians, we know that Paul was the writer. It's pretty much undisputed. And the theme of Philippians is joy. And so as we go through here, what we're going to see is how we can have joy. And it's not that Paul is saying you have to have joy. Here's the law. You have to have joy. No, Paul is saying, look, I'm in the midst of, he was in prison when he wrote it. I'm in the midst of all these problems, and look at all the problems you have. You have poverty, and you have all these issues, but even in the midst of prison, even as he is talking about their problems or whatever issues going on, the joy just spills out. It just spills out, and we'll see that a little bit today. But the joy is a byproduct. I want you to see that. We don't set off to have joy in our life. We set off to trust God. When we trust God, the byproduct of that is when we're truly trusting God, the byproduct is joy. That's what happens naturally when we have Christ at the forefront in our life. So we see that the theme is joy, and we'll talk about that quite a bit as we go through. The city was very important. We looked at that last week, and it was a Roman colony. In fact, they had all the privileges. If you were a city citizen of Philippi, then you were a citizen of Rome. Had all the privileges that went along with that. What we also looked at was the church. And the church, Paul, it was the first church in Europe that Paul went to. And he had started the church there. And we'll look at that a little today. But we looked at how the church was not a rich church at all. It was a poor church and poverty. And yet they were so generous. They were so generous in what they did. So today what we're going to look at is Paul's confidence. Paul's confidence about the Philippian church there is in God. His confidence isn't in the people. His confidence isn't in how wonderful or great they are. And they are wonderful. But his confidence was in God. And we're going to see that. So the first thing we'll look at is his history with them. Look what he says in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Paul started this church. He came there and he went out, and there was a group of ladies that were meeting, and Lydia was the first convert. She was a seller of purple. She was actually a Gentile who was a Jewish proselyte. She had joined the Jewish religion because she wanted to know the true God. So she was the first convert, and she invited Paul and his group into her home and kept them there. But they got in trouble and then thrown in jail. So the Philippian jailer was the next convert. Remember the earthquake that happened, and he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, wait, we're all here. And so the Philippian jailer was also a convert in his family, just like Lydia and her family. But says here, he says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. Now, I want you to, and I know it's kind of a small point, but I want you to see, he's not saying, you know, every time I remember to pray for you, well, I thank God. Or every time I think, oh, the Philippian church, that's right, I need to thank God. That's not what the grammar here literally means not in each time I think of you, but in the whole time that I was with you. My whole remembrance of you. Every day that I spent with you, every time I was with you, the whole time I was with you, there's nothing for me to not thank God for. I thank God as a byproduct of my whole time with you, everything that happened there. And he went to jail there. He was thrown in prison. He was in the middle of an earthquake. He was all sorts of issues going on. And yet he says, in all of that, that whole scenario, I just pour out thanksgiving to God. I'm so thankful. And I'm so grateful. And not only that, but look at verse 4. Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. You know, he prayed for the churches that he was a part of. He prayed for each church. But with the Philippian church, and a lot of some of the churches, like with Galatia, the churches in Galatia, he prayed and he said, Lord, you know, these guys are, they're not catching this. They need to, you know. But with Philippian church, it says, my whole time there, I thank you so much. Not only that, but I'm filled with such joy when I'm praying. He says, remember, joy is what? Joy isn't what we try and gain. Joy is a byproduct of what? It's a byproduct of trusting Christ. Remember? We looked at that last week, and we're going to see that throughout here. So joy isn't the goal that we chase after. Joy is the byproduct of what comes when we trust Christ. Because Paul was in prison trusting Christ, and he experienced joy. Paul was in prison in Philippi trusting Christ, and he experienced joy. And he says, every time I consider this whole aspect of living with you, I'm not only thankful is a byproduct, but I experience joy. So when I'm praying for you, joy bubbles up. Joy comes out of me. That's the kind of relationship that's fabulous to have. That's the kind of relationship that I have with you folks. That's what I have with you folks. I pray for our folks. I pray for you each week, and it's joyful. Because this is what God has done here amazes me. And I shouldn't be amazed at what God, you know, we say, well, you know, we should expect God. I know we do, but we're human. And I get amazed at what God has done. Well, Paul was too. And Paul was amazed. He was so overwhelmed with this that not only thanked God, but he thanked him with joy. It says, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. That's how we knew he was from the South, see? Always for you all. All of y'all. I think all of y'all is from the South, right? You all is kind of Midwest, Mid-South. I don't know. Anyway, with joy. All right, so Paul was in prison, but his heart was in Christ. And that's how he could have... Paul was in prison. He had spent the last 4 years waiting for his trial to come up. Waiting for Caesar to hear it. In prison, chained to a guard. Or with a guard, at least. He was under a guard. Always. He always had a guard with him, so he always had a captive audience. That's the whole Praetorian Guard heard about the gospel. Isn't that amazing how God works? But But in all of that, he finding joy. So in the midst of all of the issues, the result of all of those issues, he's finding joy. And Paul was praying for them in their poverty and their inability to go see him, or in his inability to see them, but it was still with joy. And the result, it was a result of who he trusted in. So why pray with joy and thanksgiving to God? Why? Why is this church like that? Well, look what it says. What verse are we on? 5. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. In view. That word in view is a preposition. It's epi. We make our preposition circle. Remember our preposition circle? That's the line that's on top of it. Epi is upon or based upon. So his remembering with thanksgiving is filled with thanksgiving, and his prayer is filled with joy based upon what? Their participation in the gospel. Their participation in the gospel. The word participation, it's translated fellowship, all right? But it's not the same fellowship that we think of today. The word, the meaning has changed from that day until now. But when we think of a fellowship, we think of what? Going down and eating lunch, right? Fellowship together. We get together and we talk and we enjoy each other. That's what we think of fellowship today. In this day, literally, it meant this. It meant a joint participation in a common interest or activity. I suppose eating is a common interest or activity, isn't it? But a joint participation. So it's not talking about just getting together and talking, getting together and encouraging one another. It's talking about doing something together, an activity, okay? So what they were doing is they were jointly doing something together. Philippian church was active in Paul's ministry. It was active in Paul's ministry. They sent, excuse me, they sent Epaphroditus with an offering that they took up. Philippian church was poor, much poverty. And yet they sacrificed of what they had, and they took up an offering. And not only just took up an offering and sent it, but they sent Epaphroditus with them. And I'm sure they took care of his needs. So they were participating that way. They were also praying for Paul. We understand that. But they were also sharing the gospel. They were involved in the ministry. They were part of the ministry. They were not just part of the name. They weren't just, okay, well, I'm part of this church and that's it. No, they were involved. They were involved in the ministry. He says, my thanksgiving, my joy in my remembrance and in my prayers comes because of your participation in the gospel, because you are part of the gospel. Not just calling yourself a Christian, but you are part of it. You are active in that. It wasn't a theory for them. It was a fact that could be seen in their life. And we were talking, Chris and I were talking this week about how God is using people and how, you know, whether we should, I mean, we can do more, you know, and but if we keep that as our goal, you know, we can do more. Well, you can never do enough. You can never do enough. But what was encouraging to me, what came out of it was encouraging to me, because she's had a Bible study in James, and James is very much, you know, show me your faith by your works. Don't just say it. Live it. Live it out. And you know, I my deal was, okay, well, what you need to do here in this church is just put a recording of John MacArthur on. And man, that would be cool. I mean, or who's the other guy? David Jeremiah, or, you know, some of these great preachers. I mean, they're just fabulous. I love listening to them. I'll, you know, because you guys have to listen to me.
Boy, that's bad.
All right? But the thing is, but God uses us in small ways. It's not always in huge ways, you know. He's used MacArthur and Jeremiah in these wonderful ways. But God has given them things to persevere through too that I'm glad I haven't had to. But yet he uses you, he uses Chris, he uses me, he uses each one of us in the way that he desires. And when we are all faithful in doing what God desires, then the work that God desires, it gets done. And it's, we don't need to compare ourselves. So, you know, Paul here, he's thanking God and he's joyous in his prayers because of their participation, because we don't know the names of a lot of the people in the Philippian church. You realize that? We don't know exactly who he was talking about when he says your participation. We know Epaphroditus. But, you know, Epaphroditus brought funds that a whole bunch of them collected, a whole bunch of them gave towards. And we don't know their name, but they were faithful. They were participating in the ministry Paul had. We look at Paul and we say, oh, what a great guy. I mean, look at all the books he wrote and everything. Look what he went through. Look at all the bad stuff that happened to him. And yet he was finding joy in these people that were doing not huge, major stuff, but just simply being faithful to what God has called them to. Raising their family. Working their job. Touching lives that Paul would never touch. You folks touch lives that I will never touch. People would never step into this building and you guys get to talk to them. You folks get to... It's amazing how many times I'll go out. You know, it's, I'm a carpenter. I put on my carpenter clothes and I go out and then somebody's, oh, you're a pastor? You're a pastor? Are you kidding? Oh, man, I got to watch what I say. Why do people tell them that I'm a pastor, you know? But the thing is, it's just the people that we come in contact, that you come in contact, that I come in contact with, to be faithful to God in the midst of that. It shows them Jesus Christ, whereas they would never hear about Jesus Christ from me, but they hear about him from you. They see him in you. And those folks may go on to be the president of the country. They may go on to be all sorts of things. Your children, your grandchildren, who are you praying for? Who are you touching with Christ? So in all of that, their participation was in the gospel, and in the gospel, it's not just to benefit Paul, it was to bring forth the gospel, to carry forth the gospel. And it says from the first day, from the first day until now, from the first day being when Paul went there, when he started the church, until where it says now, it literally, there's a definite article in front of it, it says the now. From the first day until the now, right now, what you have just done, what is going on right now, he's still excited about it. That's why he found joy. He's excited about this church because they're participating with him in the ministry, in the gospel, in sharing the gospel. And then he goes on. What I want to look at next is that his heart for these folks is in Christ. His heart trust for Philippian church is in Christ. Look what it says in verse 6. This is one of my favorite verses in scripture. I'll tell you, Becky, Erickson, John, and Becky. Yeah. Used to be Becky Knoll. Becky Knoll still is in my head. Of course, small up. That was Becky Knoll. So, Becky Erickson, she wrote this in one of her things. She sent this verse, and I love this verse. And this is Paul's heart for them. And he says, for I am confident. And you see where it says, for I am. Now, those were added. Those words were added for our understanding. They're not in the original language. They were added. That's why they're in italics. But it helps us to understand. It says, being confident. Because I'm confident in this. It says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. This is Paul's heart in Christ for them and for us. This is the heart that we can have in Christ for ourselves and for each other. It says, I am confident. The word confident means patho, actually, is the word. And it's in the perfect tense. So it's fully, completely confident. It's an aorist voice, or an active voice, which means it's going on, and it's a participle, which means it has ongoing consequences. So what it literally literally is to be persuaded of or to have confidence in. It's having total, absolute confidence. Paul says, I am totally, completely persuaded of this. There is no doubt in my mind. And it only comes from knowing and believing God's truth, this truth. There was no doubting this truth for Paul because he knew his God and he knew what his God had promised. And he knew how God accomplished salvation. He knew about the grace of God. And we're going to look at that a little bit next week. But he says, I'm confident in this very thing. Well, what very thing is he talking about? This very thing, especially, and that's what he's going to say. He says that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. He who began, he is God. He's the one that began a good work in us and in these folks. He being God is the instigator of salvation in our life. And yes, he gives us the will and he gives us the work. He gives us of salvation. We'll find that out in chapter 2, all right? But here we're talking about the beginning and the end of salvation. The beginning and the end. He says, he who began a good work. The word began, it's fun. Okay, the word began is in the aorist tense, which means it's a one-time action. It's like a picture. All right? He did this. He began, and it's in the middle voice, which means that in and of God himself, he did this. This was his thought. This was his work. It's in the middle voice. It's not a passive. It didn't say, well, you know, he saw salvation coming and hitting us. He saw that salvation was going to hit you at some point. No, God did this. He started it. He began it in and of himself. Not only that, but it is a participle. So it has ongoing consequence. It has ongoing work in your life. It doesn't just start and die. He started this good work, the good work being salvation. Now, the only other place that word began, the word began is throughout Scripture, but the only other place this specific word is, it's a compound word, which means began in. It's two words. Began in. And the only other place it is in Galatians 3:3 says this. And it goes so well with this. It says, are you so foolish, having begun, that word, by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? In other words, the Galatian people, they were having a problem. They had started off with salvation, but then they said, well, you know, we got to have the law, too. We got to obey the certain aspects of the law. We got to do our part. And he said, are you that really that foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you going to perfect yourself? Well, here it's the same thing. He who began this good work, and the good work being salvation, he's going to perfect it. He who began that. The good work being salvation, the fact that God quickens us. In other words, he makes us alive together with Christ. God offers us salvation. He supplies the grace and the faith. For by grace you are saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God, Ephesians. Salvation is of God alone. And all there is for us is to, Romans 4, believe, paseo. Romans 5, lambano, to receive, to believe and receive. You say, well, now wait, isn't that a work? Isn't that what our work is? No, we have no work in it. And the only illustration I can even begin to think of is if you're a redneck, let's go with that. If you're a really good redneck and you like big trucks, all right, I want a big truck, all right, a 350, an F-350, I want a diesel, right? Diesel. I don't like diesel. Anyway, gas pump. 350, an F-350, big thing. The big bed, it's got big wheels. You know, I really want one of those. And I come up and say, you know what? I've been thinking about you a lot, and I think you really deserve, you don't deserve it. But anyway, I really want to give you one. I want to give you that big truck. It's brand new. It's a 2022. It's a big, beautiful, obviously a Ford. It's... I could get in trouble with that, couldn't I? But anyway, it's a big, or maybe it's a deer, right? They don't make deers like I do. Okay, John Deere. Okay, let's do that. All right, but anyway, it's a big, beautiful truck, and I want to give it to you, and you say, no, I'm big, I can earn it. I'll earn it. I'll go to work and all that. No, I don't want you to earn it. I want to give it to you. No, I'm not worthy of it. There's no way that I could ever be that good to get that. No, I don't care. I want to give it to you. What is it? And so I take it and I place it in your hand, and you take it and you grab it and you go and you start it and you say, it's mine. This is so cool. What did you do to gain that? Zip. Nothing. All you did was take it. All you did was accept it. That's how he begins a good work in you. You don't work for it. You don't go to church a whole bunch. You don't give enough money so you can finally be saved. You don't do enough good things so that you can... He takes you in the midst of your sin and the deprivation of your heart, the deep, dark ugliness of your heart, and he says, here's the new truck. Here it is. And when you accept that, it's not a work that you're doing. It's a gift that you've received. And when God starts it, look what it says. He who began that good work in you will perfect it. And that's a promise. That's not a, he might perfect it. He might do, and by the way, the word perfect, let's get that out of the way. It's a word epiteleo. Epiteleo. Teleo means to complete. And epi, remember our preposition, is on top of. So it's over completion or based upon completion. It's complete upon everything. It's everything complete. He's going to everything complete it. In other words, you don't have to help God in your salvation. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to serve God in your salvation. You realize that? He started it. He's going to complete it. Now, he may get you to the point where you really want to. He may allow things in your life where you look at what happened to Joseph. Guy did nothing wrong and he was in prison. What happened to Paul? Preaching the word and he's in prison. But what did that do? Paul says, hey, I get to share with the Praetorian Guard. Hey, there's people out there trying to make me jealous and they're preaching the gospel. This is so cool. All right? God can work in the midst of it, and he may allow absolute horrifying things in our life. Why? To draw us, to get us to look up. But you know what? We don't have to serve God. We get to. We have the greatest privilege on earth. We have God putting his Spirit in us to lead us and guide us, and we can grieve the Holy Spirit and we can quench the Holy Spirit, and God can still use us. Do you realize that? And there are, so you say, well, now wait a second, what about people who stray off and, you know, I can't answer all of that because I'm not God. You say, well, what about the bad things that happen and everything? Well, you know, I am not, it doesn't look like the right way to me sometimes. But then I have to ask the question, who's smarter, God or me? Who can see the end from the beginning, God or me? Because you have Paul who's looking at somebody and says, well, what about Demas? Look at Demas. I mean, the guy in one book, it says he's just helping us. He's a wonderful guy. He's really helping us really well. In another book, it says Demas has left. And what I've done is give him over to Satan. Why? So that he can rot in hell, right? No, he gave him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his soul might be saved. How can his soul be saved? Because God, who began the work, will complete it. That word perfect doesn't mean your life's going to be perfect. It's not what it's saying. It means that it's going to be complete. Your salvation will be completed by God. When? Till when? Look what it says. Until the day of Christ Jesus. When is the day of Christ Jesus? When he comes. When Christ comes, the end of the tribulation, he's going to come. And guess who is going to see that he was right? The whole world. everyone in the world. They will see that following Christ was the right thing to do. That following Christ was the absolute best thing to do. We waste so much of our life wondering if we should follow our flesh or follow Christ, you know? We waste so much of it. Because if we could get to the end and look back, we could say, oh, following Christ was the right thing to do. And following the he gives us opportunities to serve him, and we can actually serve a living God. Yeah, oftentimes we quench the spirit or whatever, but we can serve, and we get to, and we have the opportunity to. And he shows us the blessings that's already given us. He lets us experience those blessings. And like Paul, you end up with joy. You end up with thanksgiving and joy for what's happened in your life instead of drudgery and hate and blaming God and shaking your fist. You end up with joy. How do you end up with joy? You don't strive for joy. You strive to trust God. You strive to be dependent on him. You strive to yield to him. And a byproduct of that is pure joy. Not happiness. Joy. True joy. And that's why Paul can pray for these people with joy. In the midst of his problems, in the midst of their problems, because he trusts the one who began the work in him and in them, and who will complete it, totally above everything, complete that work. It's God's job. Do you realize it's not your job to finish your work in salvation? It's not your job to complete yourself in salvation, to make yourself better, to do so much. It's not your job. It's your job to trust your Father, to trust God through Jesus Christ. And he's the one that's going to start. He's the one that's going to finish it. It's his job. That takes all of the pressure off, doesn't it? It takes the pressure off of us. Because so often we blame ourselves when we mess up, when our children mess up, when our grandchildren, we blame ourselves. When our neighbors, when those around us, they ended up we blame ourselves. But you know what? God's still in charge. And yes, we may have been a problem to all of that. And yes, we may need to go back and apologize, or we may need to change something. But it's still God's job. It's still his work. And he completes that salvation in us. And if he started a salvation in anyone, he will complete it. He will complete it. They cannot complete it themselves. They cannot. He will. And he does the best job out of any of us, I hate to tell you, for those of you who like being in control. He does a better job than we do. We can trust him in that. I've completely forgot any of my notes here, so don't know where I am at all. I do want to read you, just as a backup to this, Romans chapter 8. Remember that passage? And we know, starting in verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's a life process. It builds in our life. And how? Through tribulation, through trials, through perseverance, through proven character, all that. So that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he justified. You know what justified is? That's salvation. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. There's no middle process in that. You say, those whom he justified, he might glorify if they do good enough. He might glorify unless they really mess up bad, unless they sin enough. No. He will. He will. And that's why it says here that the one who began the work, we'll finish it. That's his job. Isn't that cool? So we have our security in him, not in us. Not in what we do or how we do, but in him. So the question comes up, are you his? Has he started the work in you? If you're not, I would implore you today, beg you, be reconciled to him. God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. He's forgiven the sins. And he says, we beg you, be reconciled to God. We, so often, haven't trusted in Christ. If you haven't trusted in Christ, then you're not one of his children. He didn't want you to be part of a religion. He wants you to be a part of a relationship. He wants you to be his child. Trust in Christ today. Allow him to begin that work in you and to finish it, to work throughout your life. Be his child today. He will adopt you into his family. I would love to show you from the Word of God, or you can find someone who knows about that sitting next to you. Ask them. They'll tell you the same thing. God loves you. He wants you to be in his family. But he'll bring it to completion. You won't. He will. Paul said this even while he was in prison, and we can say it with confidence. We can say it with confidence even when the world is going crazy. Even when the other parts of the world are fighting and our part of the world is the morality is just sinking so badly. We can still say that with confidence. He who began this work is going to complete it. Or when our world is having problems, when our own individual world is having problems, what we know is that he loves us, and what he started, he will fully complete. You can depend upon your daddy, your Abba. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that we can depend upon our Abba. Daddy God, we need so badly, so much to recognize how insufficient we are and how sufficient you are. Because, Father, it's not of us. This work is not of us. Our life is not in our hands. It's in yours. And if we really catch on to this fact that we can trust you, then, Lord God, we'll come out of it with joy. We'll come out of it with praise and thanksgiving, and it'll just flow from us. Not because that's our goal, but, Lord God, because our goal is to depend upon you and to yield to you and what you desire in our life. Because what you desire is for us to grow. And oftentimes that means going through the trials. And that's why we should consider it joy, even though it doesn't feel joyful when we fall into various trials. Because that's going to build perseverance. According to Romans, perseverance builds proven character. And proven character builds hope. So the only way we can really, truly have hope, Lord God, is to go through the issues, to go through the problems while trusting you. While recognizing that you are still in control. Even though it looks like the world's out of control, you are still in control. And your plans will come about. And you, who began this work of salvation in us, you are going to bring it to completion. Oh, praise your name. Thank you so much that we can rest in you. Yeah, we still work. We still do. And we'll see all that later in Philippians. But Lord, we can rest in you. Knowing that we are in good hands. Thank you so much. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Would you take your hymn book?